It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies for so many industries and professions, including sales, social media, corporate culture, retail, strategic planning, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Trapper. Thank you. Also, special thank you to the team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a very important support role for this show, specifically Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina. A special thank you to them all. Also, a special shout out to Bill O'Reilly, who a great friend, and actually was very instrumental in landing the fantastic guest that you will hear tonight during this episode of Mind Your Business. Also, want to give a special thank you to last week's guest, Dawn Fay, the district president of Robert Half International. That was an incredible show. Got really, really good feedback. And we talked about employers and employees, how to excel on the job, how to spot a great employee. In case you missed that show, you can access it by going to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. And there you'll find all our past episodes. And just to list off some of the really incredible guests that we've had that have taken from their valuable time and to share with the listeners of Mind Your Business on this show. To name a few, Dan Sullivan, the president of Strategic Coach, Steven Sato, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Eric Asimov, chief wine critic at the New York Times, Sylvia DiGisto, executive image consultant, Captain Sully Sullenberger. He needs no introduction. He was on the show. You can access that interview by going to WABCBizRadio.com. A couple of other highlighted guests, Stephen Aldridge, chief product officer at GoDaddy, Jenna Wolf, author of Thinner and 30, and Jeffrey Hazlett, former CMO of Kodak and best-selling author of Think Big, Act Bigger, Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer service expert, Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield. He's running for mayor of New York City. They were all guests here on Mind Your Business, and you can access their interviews, many of them with video as well, by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, without further ado, we're going to get to our very special guest this evening, Martin Eisenberg, the principal at the law offices of Martin Eisenberg. And as this interview goes on, you'll hear why it was so important to have someone of Martin's stature on this on the airwaves. And in fact, one of the compliments that I get frequently is that we have great variety. When you tune in on any given week, a number of weeks ago, we had the Jeffrey Colon, the author of Disruptive Marketing. He is a communications designer at Microsoft. So that was talking about disruptive marketing. And we had Brian Solis talking about the customer experience, Shep Hyken talking about customer experience. But then we had Jason Robinson, the director of marketing at UPS, talking about delivery by drones, that UPS is entertaining that. So you never know kind of what to expect. Of course, if you follow me on social media, you would know who our guest is because that will be, it's always pushed out via my Facebook, Yitzhak Saflis on Facebook. On Twitter, it's Y Saflis. But every week we cover something that's of very important interest to anyone in the business world. So without further ado, we're going to get to our special guest. Martin, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Yitzhak. How are you?
Fantastic. And thank you so much for joining me. Maybe you could open up the show by just telling me a little bit about your background. I mean, let's say from when you graduated high school and now you're running this firm that has a footprint in Manhattan and in Westchester. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I went to City University of New York, Queens College, and went to St. John's Law School. So I'm a New Yorker through and through. and then I started practicing law in a boutique bankruptcy firm called Angel & Frankel, which was a very renowned firm that specialized in bankruptcy. It handled, I'm going back a little bit, but it handled bankruptcies for Lionel Trains and WedTech and a lot of the major commercial buildings in Manhattan at the time when the real estate market went sour. And that's where I got my training. And I started to develop a expertise in bankruptcy and bankruptcy litigation. And in particular, I started to represent a lot of financial investment firms in bankruptcies, not as debtors, but as creditors in bankruptcies. And so I started to really develop an expertise in commercial litigation, business litigation, a little emphasis on financial investment firms. And so that sort of grew. And from there, I went to a firm called Emmett Marvin & Martin, which is one of the oldest firms in New York City, I think. And in fact, Franklin Roosevelt was FDR was a partner there at one point. Mm. Great firm.
Wow.
And then I went to I was asked to join another firm called Thompson Hine, which is a firm that's a large firm. And then I decided to go out on my own and start my own firm and practice, and with representing a lot of financial investment firms, banks, hedge funds, and also general commercial business disputes with different business entities.
Wow. Now, before we get into some interesting cases, let's talk about the what practical advice could you give for small business owners how to not get in trouble? To a certain degree, talking out of the possibility of landing themselves in need of your services. Of course, we will get to why they potentially may need your services. But what are some general tips on kind of how to stay out of legal trouble?
Well, I mean, there's an old saying in business where the owner of a small clothing store has his son and he's training his son, and he says, climb up on the ladder and I'll catch you, jump off. And the son jumps off the ladder and the father pulls his hands away, and the son, of course, doesn't hurt himself, but he doesn't catch him. And he said, that's the first thing you learn about business. Be careful who you trust. So I would say that it's important to document things, to make sure that you're very, very precise in your business dealings. People's word is their bond, and that's what one of the things my case was about. But even having said that, I think it's very important to get things in writing if you can, and to be precise, because if you ever get into a dispute, it's always important to have proof, and you don't want to get into a he said, she said situation, because then the judge can go either way. So the more detail oriented you are, I think the better you are in business.
Great advice. Are there any differences between a small business operation, let's say five employees or less, or medium size, if let's say we call that anywhere between 10 and 50, any differences that you could point out?
Well, if you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you have a very small business. You don't have the benefit of a staff. You don't have the benefit of lawyers. You don't have the benefit of other people who can advise you. You don't have a structure in place. So under those circumstances, you need to be very vigilant and need to be very careful. And small business owners need to know that they should be, again, precise in their language, and also make sure things are papered, make sure things are in writing, get substantiation for the things that you say, because you don't want to get into a situation in which you've trusted somebody and then they pull the rug out from under you, and then you're stuck. So you have to be more vigilant as a small business owner. You have to be more careful because you don't have the support.
Such a great point, even as a takeaway at this early stage in the interview, about having documentation for everything. It can never be too too certain that, that something is made clear. And if it's documented, if it's in an email, it's written, and someone has a copy of it, then there's proof of that trail. Such important advice.
Yeah. Yes, it is, because nobody wants to get into disputes. Even if you go into small claims court with a dispute, right? If you don't have a huge dispute, but most people have disputes, they wind up in small claims court. And the judge that you get before in small claims court, he doesn't know that one guy's trustworthy, the other guy isn't. He's looking at it from a completely objective, neutral standpoint. So the more proof that you have to show him, the better.
Now, here's a question that comes up for many, really anyone today, especially following what happened at the DNC with WikiLeaks and all that. If someone wants to send something in confidence, let's say by email to someone else, are there any tricks that they could identify, or let's say that that little footnote that some people add in the bottom of the email, is that helpful? Is that important? Does that help keep confidentiality?
Well, that's a great question, Yitzhak, and let me tell you why that's so important. I was heavily involved in the Enron case. I think you'll remember Enron.
Oh, wow.
And which is that oil company that had so much corruption and it was a horrible situation. But you know what was why all those people at Enron got in trouble? Because there were emails that were sent to from one employee to another essentially saying, ha ha, look at this. We've set up this phony structure and nobody knows about it and we're fooling all these people. And those emails were used against them. So with respect to emails, if you want to have if something's really, really that you really want to have to be confidential, there are a number of ways that you could do this. The first is make sure that you're on an email platform that encrypts the transmissions from one party to another. Check with your email carrier and say, when I send an email, when that email goes from point A to point B, on the way, is that encrypted? In other words, nobody can hack into it on the way. And then if you want to be super careful, and I don't know how often this would come up, but if you have something that is incredibly confidential that you don't want anybody to see but the receiver of the email, then there are services that you could retain that will encrypt the email with a password so that if you send the email and it's super confidential and the other party gets it, that party can't open that email up unless they have a password to open it up. So there are ways to encrypt emails. But the point with the emails is be careful with your emails. How many people get into trouble because they make jokes, jokes in bad taste with emails or comments, off-the-cuff comments in emails? We're seeing now that those emails can come back to haunt you. So keep your emails business-like and keep them to the point and be very careful when you send them.
Great advice. And is there anything to those two words, privileged communication?
Well, a privileged communication, what that means is attorney-client privilege. When you hire an attorney for a legal matter, anything that you say between you and the attorney is privileged. In other words, you could never be forced to testify what you said to your attorney, and your attorney can never be forced to testify what you said to him. So if you have the policy behind that is, when you hire an attorney, just like when you go to a doctor, right, you want to be able to speak freely. A doctor can't right. treat you unless he really knows what the situation is, right? You shouldn't be embarrassed to tell a doctor something. Same thing with a lawyer. You shouldn't be embarrassed to tell a lawyer something. So you should have a free opportunity to speak to a lawyer and tell them everything, warts and all. And so that way the lawyer can do the best job he can representing you. Now, one thing you have to be careful about when you have the attorney-client privilege is the privilege is only between the lawyer and the client. And if there's a third person in the room who's not a client, even an accountant sometimes, or your a relative or a friend, that privilege doesn't exist. That privilege no longer exists because the privilege only exists with respect to communications between the lawyer and the client. And that would hold with emails, too. If you send an email to your lawyer, it's between you and the lawyer, that email would be privileged, and that email could never be used against you if it was just sent between a lawyer and a client.
Such great points. I have the pleasure of speaking with Martin Eisenberg, a principal at the law offices of Martin Eisenberg, which has locations in Manhattan and Westchester. Before we go to the break, Martin, if someone wants to reach you, how could they reach you?
Well, they could reach me. They can go to my website, law offices of Martin Eisenberg. I have offices in White Plains at 50 Main Street in White Plains and Park Avenue at 100 Park Avenue in Manhattan.
Wow. For the benefit of the listeners, each week we have some type of sweepstakes, and this week we are going to be giving away the book Disruptive Marketing by Jeffrey Colon. Again, we had him on the radio, and his book is a fantastic book. It could be yours by sending a text to 22828, putting in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Put in the letters MYB and send that text to 22828, and you're automatically entered to win a free copy of Disruptive Marketing, What Growth Hackers, Data Punks, and Other Hybrid Thinkers Can Teach Us About Navigating the New Normal by Jeffrey Colon. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business Show with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. I want to remind the listeners, if you follow me on social media, you'll always have the heads up on who our guests will be on every Sunday night. And we've been on, we're going to do a celebration soon for our 100th show. It's coming up pretty soon. Amazing how many episodes. And of course, they're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. In fact, I mean, you could pick up the interview there with Jay Baer if you missed that one, the social media guru. He wrote the book Hug Your Haters. What a crazy name, right? But when you hear that interview, you'll understand why he named the book that way and how apropos it is and what an incredible book it is, actually. And the other roughly 80, 85 interviews we've had, they're all available by going to the archive at WABCBizRadio.com. And there's a link there to iTunes. Many people like listening to the iTunes. It's all there. Again, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, my guest this evening is Martin Eisenberg, who's been practicing law. How many years have you been in it from when you entered the field, Martin?
30 years.
Wow.
32 years,
so,
to be exact.
Over 3 decades. And he talked previously, in case you missed it, he talked about some takeaways from the Enron case, the famous Enron case, in, what was that, 04? Something like that, 03, 04?
Enron was in, I think, 2003, 2004.
Yeah. Wow. Now, before the break, we were talking about some tips on how to, keep your communications confidential. Maybe you could share, for the benefit of the audience, some tips about social media, right? We live in a world where everything is, right away. You take a picture, you send something. Are there any tips that you would recommend for business executives who are active on social media?
Yes, a couple of things. Firstly, and I think this ties into what I said previously about emails. Mm-hmm. You have websites with your business that have your business, which are very, very useful. But you must keep the website focused to business and not put anything personal on the website. What I'm seeing now in litigation is I'm seeing that attorneys are sending what they call the discovery requests, which means that things you have to produce to the other side in a lawsuit, and they're asking for your Facebook site and changes to your Facebook site and things like that. So this is becoming something that is being used in litigation. And if you put something on a Facebook, like you put on an email, or you put something that could be damaging to you, to your business, or personally on a Facebook site, it might wind up in front of a judge, and you may have to answer to it. So I think that is really, really important. And the same thing with businesses. Be careful what you say about somebody else's business in social media, whether you put it on a Facebook site or a tweet. Tweets are becoming very popular now. So just be careful what you say, because you don't want to run into trouble where somebody says, hey, you said this about me, you damaged my business. So again, in this world where nobody has any anonymity anymore and everything is public, you need to really be very, very careful about what you put on these sites.
Great tips, Martin. Let's talk about keeping current with business law. There are certain, as you would say, fundamentals or rules of the game, which could be really pretty obvious to someone who's just wants to play by the rules. And then there's sometimes where the government can tinker a little bit and put new regulations, whether it has to do with minimum wage, et cetera. What advice would you recommend for a business executive to kind of stay current to make sure they won't run afoul with the law?
Yeah, that's a very good question, especially today with so many different sources of information, right? You can find the internet and get a million different sources. How do you know those sources are any good or could be trusted? Right. Difficult to do today. My advice would be to use trusted sources. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Forbes, because these publications generally are fairly trusted, and they will give you a fairly good view of what's going on. Also, depending upon what the particular business you're in, there are trade newsletters and trade blogs to particular businesses that will keep you updated with respect to your particular businesses. So if you are, for instance, are in the garment center or the clothing business, there may be newsletters which pertain to your particular business. Because everything is so specialized now today that, try to find a newsletter or organization that will keep up to date for you.
Great advice, as you've been sharing so far since the beginning of the show, and we really appreciate it. Maybe we could discuss some interesting case. Now, there was something that caught my eye recently, and that's why we really wanted to have you on the air. But before we get to that actual case that just took place, what are some of the, two to three cases over the years? Again, you're doing this over three decades, that were like highlighted cases. I imagine Enron has to be one of them. Maybe another two that come to mind, and some takeaways from those experiences.
I think Enron obviously was a very, very interesting case. Another interesting case I had to do with the dog tracks. You know the dog tracks in Florida?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
I represented a television studio in litigation arising from a joint venture to simulcast dog track racing throughout the United States.
Okay.
And that was a very interesting case because the two parties there were, it was a very acrimonious litigation, and it was a perfect example of why things need to be you know, detailed, and there needs to be emails that confirm things in writing, because in that case, it turned out to be a he said, she said, and the amount of money involved was enormous. And it really was a very, very difficult case to litigate. It eventually wound up settling, but it cost a lot of money to the parties because they did not document things correctly. So the takeaway from that, again, was what I said before, is the more detail, the better. Another interesting case I had was there were members of a, and this really has application to small businesses as well, because a lot of times people have an employee and that employee leaves, and when the employee leaves, he takes clients with him of the firm. So it is always a fight between the employer and the employee who leaves, because the employer says, "Hey, you took my clients away. They were my clients." And the question is, whose clients are they? Can the client switch? It's a vexing problem in business for small businesses and for large businesses as well. The case I was involved in a law firm. One of the associates of the law firm left the firm and took a whole slew of cases with him.
Mm.
And the firm that he left sued him and said, "These are our clients. These cases are bringing in a lot of money, and they were our clients, and you took them." And the court ruled that a client has the opportunity to pick whatever lawyer he wants.
Mm.
So if a lawyer leaves the firm and is representing me, I have the right to choose and say, "I want to go with that lawyer," and that lawyer can represent me, and the law firm no longer has a right to the client. So that was a very interesting case, which had you know, practical application, at least as far as, you know, law firms were concerned.
Wow. Great takeaways. Again, my guest this evening is Martin Eisenberg of the law offices of Martin Eisenberg, with locations in New York City and in Westchester. He's been doing this for over three decades and is sharing, is really gracious. I don't know if I should ask you on the air how much you charge an hour, but this is very gracious of you to spend this time and to share such great tips for business owners. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Now, I recently saw this case, and this is like just fascinating to me. You had even, from my reading, you have a line in here that the U.S. trading markets were just saved from total chaos. What happened? Maybe you could just talk about the case, and then we'll get to the takeaways.
Sure. This is a case which has been decided by the New York State Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York. In most states, it's the Supreme Court that's the top court, right? And
mm-hmm.
In New York, the top court is the Court of Appeals. And what happened in this case was that my client, which was a hedge fund, mm-hmm. Bid on the sale of a mortgage at an auction. You know, everybody has mortgages on their house.
Right.
And then you see that, you know, a company owns the mortgage, and a few months later, you see, well, there's somebody else you have to pay the mortgage. So these mortgages get sold, but, you know, the bank sells it to another bank and through a different. So the seller here was selling one of his mortgages to my client, and my client bid on the mortgage and won the bid, had the highest bid at auction. And then the parties agreed to use a standard purchase and sale agreement to formalize the transaction, you know, to paper it.
Mm-hmm.
My client sent the forms over to sign, and then the market changed, and the bank said, "You know something? I'm going to make more money if I renege on this sale. I don't want to sell it anymore. I'm going to keep it." And it told my client, "I know we accepted your bid at the auction. I know we agreed on the purchase and sale agreement, but I'm not signing it. And because I don't have to sign this, and until I sign it, we have no deal, and I'm reneging."
Hmm.
The Court of Appeals reversed a previous appellate court that said that was okay.
Wow.
The Court of Appeals said, wow, no, that's not okay. It's not good. Your word is your bond. You had agreed at an auction. You accepted the bid. You agreed on the sale, purchase and sale agreement. You just can't not sign it and get out of the deal. And the court ruled that a trade is a trade. You agreed on everything, and the sale has to go through, and your failure to sell that loan to my client was a breach of contract.
Hmm. Now, I still want to go through this case and understand, like, again, how terrible this could have been if the Court of Appeals would have gone the other way. But first, just want to remind the audience, I'm speaking with Martin Eisenberg, the principal of the law offices of Martin Eisenberg. He's sharing really great takeaways from real-life experience on how to stay out of legal troubles and then how to navigate it if, God forbid, it happens to come your way. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned to Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. Short commercial break. I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Our giveaway this week, usually we have a giveaway, is the book by Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing. A really incredible work. In case you don't win, no worries. You could buy it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's really everywhere. But one lucky winner is going to win it. And all you have to do is send a text to 22828. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. It's that simple. MYB, send it as a text to 22828, and you're automatically entered to win the book by Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing. Well, my guest this evening is Martin Eisenberg, the principal at the law offices of Martin Eisenberg, and we're talking about this very recent case that went way up to the Court of Appeals here in New York State. Now, before the break, we were talking about that, you know, it landed on the right, it landed the right way, certainly from our vantage point. But still, let's still hold on to this. What would have happened for businesses, for the trading market, et cetera, if they had gone the other way?
Okay, so I give you a little background of the trading market. So stocks, mortgages, bonds, they're bought and sold essentially over the phone. It's a very fast-moving market. And these types of trades are made in the sums of millions of dollars a day in telephone trades.
Right.
And on a yearly basis, if you aggregate all the stocks, mortgages, bonds, loans, things that are bought and sold, it's a $600 billion a year industry. So this is
a huge
financial impact, which is why the Court of Appeals took the case and why they thankfully issued this great decision. So traders make a deal over the phone. They buy stock or a mortgage over the phone, and then they send an email confirming. We talked about emails previously, their importance. So they say, okay, we're going to buy this stock, we're going to buy this mortgage, done. They hang up the phone, and then they send a confirming email or a Bloomberg message. This is the trade, this is the amount, et cetera, all the material terms. This is a very, this market is very volatile, okay? When the email is sent, the email typically says, we have a deal, I'll send you over the formal documents to paper the deal, official.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a very volatile market. So between the time that you hang up that phone and send that email confirm, and the time you actually send the documents over to paper, it could be a couple of days, okay?
Right.
This market can change in a couple of hours. The moment you hang up that phone, that stock that you bought for $1 million could all of a sudden be worth $2 million, okay? It changes very quickly.
Right.
And if this decision wasn't reversed, what could have happened is that between the time you hang up the phone and the time you send over the documents, the seller can say, or the buyer, forget it. I don't want to do this deal. The market has changed, and we don't have a deal, and I'm not signing anything. That would be incredibly disruptive to the entire trading market. It would create a lot of uncertainty. People wouldn't know that they had a deal. That's why the mantra, a trade is a trade, your word is your bond, is so important, because it would be very unsettling to the market if people could pull out of deals after they acknowledge the deal on the phone and send an email confirming it.
You know, it's an interesting point. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to discuss on the air certain confidential points, but I happen to be aware of a case. A friend of mine was doing a deal, a mortgage of some property that he had, and he was in touch with his bank, and he was going back and forth on the rate and stuff like that. But in the deal, there was discussion. He had some previous judgment or something open, and the goal was that when he was going to refinance the deal, that would be cleaned out. Well, it was discussed, and he has a voicemail record and email trail and all that. At the 11th hour, the bank held on to the judgment. They said they're not cleaning that out. They kept that forbearance agreement locked in and stuff like that. So he was at the closing. He said, listen, you know, what am I supposed to do now? You know, they said, well, you know, one option is just not to sign. The only thing is that the rate was good. It was before rates were going up. So he signed, but he signed kind of under protest. Technically, should that person contact a firm like yours?
Yes. I mean, that's something where, you know, you may have, you know, legal rights if you signed under coercion, duress, if there was an unfair bargaining position. You know, a lot of banks, credit card companies, you know, they're in much superior positions to the average person. You know, the average person doesn't understand a lot of these things, and they get taken advantage of. And so it's important that if you feel like you've been wronged, if you feel like, but you just can't really put your finger on it, or you don't really know why, that you speak to a lawyer and find out if you have legal rights.
Wow. Now, one of the points that came up because of the decision that you were involved with was how this would affect even, you know, pensions and 401ks. Maybe you can elaborate on that.
Well, I don't know if most people know, but their 401ks are in. There's a manager of your 401ks, and he or she makes investment decisions for you with your money. And a lot of the times that money goes into hedge funds, okay, which are sort of investment firms. It goes into investment banks. It goes into mutual funds. It's a vast array of different things. And if the markets were unsettled, and the people that operate in the hedge funds and the mortgage industry and investments, they trade on the phone. They, you know, this has to do with the integrity of the markets. And so if the markets are uncertain, if the markets are disrupted, it could have potentially affected the 401ks, because your money is being used for those trades.
Yeah. So and now actually talking about the Wall Street trader or people on the, you know, the debt trader. How important was this decision for them? I mean, I know it's kind of obvious to those in the audience that are relating to this, but those that aren't, how would you explain that, Martin?
It's very important. I mean, you know, there's always been a moral obligation not to renege on a trade. It's sort of the code of honor, sort of like in the diamond industry, right? You give a person diamonds and, you know, you trust them because they could abscond with the diamonds, but you just don't do that, right? You know you're going to get the same diamonds back, et cetera. That sort of was the same code of honor for traders. That's the mantra, trade is a trade. But there's a lot of money involved here. It's got, sometimes you can make a sale and say, holy mackerel, if I can miss. In my case, the seller of the mortgage was going to make $2 million more by not selling this mortgage. That's a lot of money. So sometimes the code of honor can be compromised by the amount of money involved. This decision turns a moral obligation into a legal obligation. Now you cannot do it legally because the New York State Court of Appeals, the highest court in New York State, which every court in the state must follow, has said you cannot renege on a deal under these circumstances.
Wow. And what is it, let's say in the region, without going state by state, do you happen to know offhand what it's like, let's say in Jersey, the way the ruling is, or in Connecticut?
Well, interesting. That's a very interesting question. Most of the traders in the whole country use New York law.
Wow. If
a lot of these trades are governed. New York is the financial hub of the world. And many times parties operate and trade saying New York law governs this trade. So this decision does not just have implications for New York State. It has implications all over the world because most traders, most funds use New York law because New York State is the most respected state in the union as far as the progressive nature of their law. They have the best judges, they make the best law, and they have to because they're the financial hub of the world.
Right, right. So true. So true. My guest this evening, Martin Eisenberg of the law offices of Martin Eisenberg. Again, what's either the preferred way to reach you, phone number, website?
Website would be great. That has my all the information that you would need to contact.
Right, and what's the actual And what's the actual website address?
Yeah, it's MartinEisenbergLaw.com.
Right, so then Martin Eisenberg, he spells it as E-I-S-E-N-B-E-R-G Law.com.
Right, one word, MartinEisenbergLaw.com.
Well, we're speaking with Martin Eisenberg himself here on Mind Your Business. We're going to take a short commercial break. You're tuned to the Mind Your Business show here on WABC. Short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com. The complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
And we're back. Mind Your Business on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Just a reminder for the audience, we are giving away tonight the book by Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing, What Growth Hackers, Data Punks, and Other Hybrid Thinkers Can Teach Us About Navigating the New Normal. That book, it's available at Barnes & Noble's and Hudson News and of course, at Amazon. But one lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is send a text to 22828, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. Again, send a text to the number is 22828 and put in the letters MYB, and you're automatically entered. One lucky listener is going to win the book by Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing. Well, my guest this evening is Martin Eisenberg, principal at the law offices of Martin Eisenberg. Talked about some fascinating cases. If you've never run into trouble with the law, great. You know, count your count your lucky blessings. But if you have, or you want to make sure you want to continue to stay out of trouble, this interview was for you. And good news, the Tuesday after every show, it's up on the archive. So just in case you're tuning in now, no worries. Tuesday morning, go to the archive. The website is, the web address is wabcbizradio.com. WABCBizRadio.com. And you'll hear the entire interview that I'm having with Martin Eisenberg. So again, it will be up at WABCBizRadio.com by Tuesday morning. Well, in the remaining few minutes that we have, Martin, let's go. I mean, we covered so many different ideas regarding the world of law and for business. But let's still stay on this most recent case. When someone makes a deal with someone, they're on the phone, they're discussing it, at what point would you say, and especially following the ruling, at what point is it, and now, following the ruling again, at what point is it binding?
Well, that's a very good question. Here's the takeaways from the decision for the average person who's involved in a business transaction. And that is, here's the first bit of advice I would give to people, because a lot of times in business you have letters of intent, or you have, you know, you have a deal. Do you know whether it's binding or not? The best way to avoid a situation where you are stuck with an agreement that you don't want because you haven't really signed the formal agreement is if you have a business deal with somebody and you don't want to be bound until that formal document is signed, then in an email confirming the deal, you must say, we do not have a deal unless and until we sign a formal agreement. Okay? Mm-hmm. You make it very clear that you have the right to withdraw until that formal agreement is signed. If you specifically say that in an email or a letter, then you will not get stuck with a deal that you don't want to do. So that's, I think, the most important thing that is the takeaway from this case, is that make it very clear that you don't want to be bound unless and until a formal agreement is signed. Hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. If that's not what you, if you don't want to do that, if you want to make the deal, then you can say, we have a deal, and this email constitutes the deal. But be very careful about trapping. You don't want to trap yourself into an agreement if it's something that you don't really want.
So it, just for example, and obviously there are details, and but in that case, about the friend of mine, so it was discussed verbally that, you know, when they were going to redo the mortgage, refinance the property, that they were going to clean off the judgment. And it was verbal, and there was some email and voicemail, etc. But again, there was no paperwork. There's no formal paperwork. But the person may still have a case against the bank?
He may have a case against the bank, but it's much harder. It's much harder to prove. If you have that writing, then you could just show it. Without the writing, again, it's a he said, she said, and sometimes there are technical rules about things having to be in writing and not be in writing. So he might have a case. He certainly might have a case, but it would be a more difficult case.
Right. But if he does have something, an email or let's say voicemail. That's an interesting question. If he has a voicemail with a banker saying that yes, I, you know, that is something that we will address.
Yes, that would certainly be helpful, because what the court is going to look at is what were the parties doing at the time this happened? Because after the fact, right, everybody says they didn't do it, right?
Of course.
You know, so what happened at the time when the actual transaction was taking place, what did the parties say to each other? And if you can document that either through a voicemail or an email or any sort of a writing, you usually have a much, much better case, because the person then can't deny and say, listen, I never said that.
Right, right. Wow, I you know, the time is going through pretty quickly. Just another question or two before we before we close. Does this ruling also apply to actual auctions? You know, say someone's bidding, someone's at Sotheby's. Does it apply to auctions as well?
Yes, that's another the second most important aspect of this decision, which essentially upheld the sanctity of an auction sale. If under the lower court decision that was reversed, the bank accepted the bid and then pulled out after the acceptance of the bid. Now, everybody knows, right, in an auction, once the bid is accepted, you have a deal, right?
The gavel comes down and the person, you know, bought the art for $3.8 million. It's not in writing for whatever it is, a couple of hours or days. So if you were to tell me that it's not binding, so then it's a joke.
It's a sham, correct, Yitzchak. It's a complete sham. And by the way, you know, I mentioned that the mortgages and how big the auction markets, a lot of these financial instruments are sold at auctions. So this decision is very important because it maintains the integrity of auction sales and the public confidence in an auction sale. When you're at an auction sale, you want to know for sure and have confidence that when you say, I have the highest bid and that bid is accepted, that you have a deal. Otherwise, a lot of uncertainty in not only the financial markets, but Sotheby's and all the other auction houses.
Wow. It's amazing the ramifications of this particular decision. I mean, I happened to, you know, find out about it and read up on it, and I was fascinated by it, but the ramifications are pretty serious.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's interesting, Yitzchak, because the Court of Appeals does not take every case. In order to get to the Court of Appeals, you have to ask for permission. So for the Court of Appeals to take a case generally, it has to be an issue that not only they think was wrongly decided, but it has to be more than that. It has to be a decision which they think has state or even nationwide implications, because they can't take every case. They only want to take the real important cases that really matter. So they granted my motion. I may ask for permission. The court looked at it and said, hey, wait a second. Something is wrong here. We're going to take this case. Just because they take a case doesn't mean they're going to decide in your favor. But in my instance, they took the case, looked at the facts and said, hey, wait a second. This is not right. You cannot renege on sales under these circumstances. And they ruled in my client's favor.
Amazing. Wow. What a great show. As we approach the close, Martin, just a couple of notes for the benefit of the listeners. First of all, if they want to reach, again, my guest this evening was Martin Eisenberg, the principal at the law offices of Martin Eisenberg. He could be reached at, again, your email address is MartinEisenberglaw.com. Is that correct?
Yes, the web address.
The web address.
MartinEisenbergLaw.com.
Correct. And again, he has locations in Manhattan and in Westchester. And again, Martin Eisenberg. Eisenberg is spelled EisenbergLaw.com. I want to remind the listeners that the giveaway this week is the book by Jeffrey Colon, Disruptive Marketing, What Growth Hackers, Data Punks, and Other Hybrid Thinkers Can Teach Us About Navigating the New Normal. If you're in the world of marketing, this book is for you. Even if you're in the world of business, and who isn't, this book gives great perspective on marketing in today's world, 2016-2017. All you have to do is send a text to 22828, put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business, and you're automatically entered to win this book by Jeffrey Colon. Again, put in the letters MYB and send it over to 22828. That is the text address. Well, Martin, I can't thank you enough for joining me on this edition of Mind Your Business. As we bring the interview to a close, what final takeaways could you share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
I think the final takeaway is it's good to know that there is still honor, that a person's word is their bond, and that trust and in the platform to make trades and auction sales has been restored. And it's just good to know that the court made really the right decision, and that, you know, a trade is a trade and a deal is a deal. And in these times where everybody's looking to get out of deals and get out of contracts, business is based on fair dealing between parties. And this decision goes a long way to establishing that the fair dealing is the right way.
What a great takeaway and a great show in general, Martin. I can't thank you enough for joining me here on the show this evening. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
That was Martin Eisenberg of the Law Offices of Martin Eisenberg. He can be reached by the web address is the best way, MartinEisenbergLaw.com. Well, up next on 77 WABC, of course, is the John Batchelor Show. Tune in again next Sunday evening at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.